Hey, this is Luke. On today's podcast, we are going to get into all things Advent. This is Phil's favorite time of the year. We will be discussing all variety of topics, including if Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. But more seriously, we're going to get into the history of Advent, the sermon series, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that we will be starting, some rhythms for your family, for the church life, how you can be involved in some of the things that's happening in our community. And so I hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm your host and producer here, joined as always by Phil Auksher, the pastor of Crestview Bible. And we're here to discuss the underbelly, we like to say, of Crestview Bible Church, some of the ins and outs of the things that we're doing here. Phil, how are you doing this afternoon?
Great. Yeah, we're going to record an Advent episode, so I'm really excited about this. But I feel like the important thing to get out on the table right from the outset is favorite Christmas movies. And I know if you don't know this about Luke, there's really only one movie that defines everything, and everything else is just a pretender.
That's right.
So,
It's a Wonderful Life.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, do you watch it in color, or is that?
Is it possible?
Yeah. Yes.
I think even on VHS we had one in color.
No.
What is your favorite moment of It's a Wonderful Life?
At the very end. So when they're all dumping the money.
When the bell rings.
When the bell rings.
And he opens the book.
Zuzu's petals.
And it says, what is it? A man is no loser who has friends or something like that.
Man is no loser.
I think that's pretty much verbatim.
Right. Something like that. But he opens the whole movie up. And then,
that's the New
like,
Living Translation of that.
And then they start singing Auld Lang Syne. And, right. He's holding his daughter. And it's like, oh, man. Every time.
What was that?
I've seen this movie, I don't know, 37 times in my life, every Christmas.
It's pretty precise.
And still, I'm weeping at that moment.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's pretty amazing, yeah.
And of course, I love the scene when he first when Clarence rescues him from the water, and he's in that little shack drying off, and that's a good scene right there.
I like the scene when he's showing up to the prom. I don't know how this works, or what... Yeah, is it a graduation party that they're all
right,
and the old guys are coming back? I'm just trying to put myself can I go to my kids' dances? Is that what this is like? Or, what's going on there? And then George is hitting on this girl a freshman or whatever.
Right,
can you
dance with my kid's sister?
Yeah, right. And I'm like, is this not like a little creepy? What's going on?
I think he's only like a freshman in college, or he just graduated.
Okay. So I don't know.
It's his brother who's graduating.
Yeah.
So he is a few years older at that
right.
point.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And how old is she?
She's a senior at that point. Yeah.
Okay.
This is legal, I don't know.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that I really love is when the floor starts to open and all the people are jumping in the water and still dancing.
I've only seen the first 15 minutes of this movie.
You might know that my eclectic Christmas tastes are a little broader than It's a Wonderful Life, but yes, when the is it the principal of the school finally decides to jump in the water too, and he's like, "Hey, you, no. Well,
he dabs his head, and then he jumps
into the water. I mean, it's just yeah. No, I've seen the whole thing, but it's
and what is your eclectic taste like? Christmas Vacation?
I have seen
that.
Are you
more cultured than
I've mentioned
me
that in the sermon. I really enjoy a movie that has a rating that's probably some people, I don't need to mention it on this podcast, but...
What, Die Hard?
No, that's not a Christmas movie.
What?
You can watch that.
I feel like it is,
now
but I've always watched it around
Does
Christmas.
It have a Christmas theme? Absolutely. I think Die Hard 2, is even more explicitly Christmas than the first one, but...
True.
That's a whole nother thing. I love a movie called Trapped in Paradise. It's Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey. And they're three brothers that go rob this bank in Paradise, Pennsylvania. And it's really rated R because of the language, which back in the day it's an issue. So if language is your conscience breaker, then you don't want to do that.
But yeah, don't take it as a recommendation in that case.
Right, in that sense, yeah. But Trapped in Paradise, it's the Christmas movie you've never heard of, but it's really good. Yeah, really good.
Well, I was going to say Die Hard, but I guess I'll go back to It's a Wonderful Life as my favorite Christmas movie.
Die Hard's enjoyable too. I just, anything holiday, I'm good.
Home Alone is a close second for me.
Yeah. It's good. We could almost do a whole episode on just Christmas movies. Yeah. I mean, what's your favorite television special? Rudolph with Hermie?
That is the best.
I think you missed when I mentioned that in a sermon.
Makes my stomach churn. I can't watch it.
What was the illustration I used Hermie
You
with?
Did the whole bit. You were like,
independent. I talked about being dependent on Jesus, and Hermie, you know, wants to be independent.
Oh my goodness. The bit was so good.
And I tried to do the voices and everything. I mean, it was great. Yeah. So you would have loved it. So people were texting me in the middle of the sermon, like Hermie emojis or Hermie gifts. And just like the people that love us do. Anyway.
Today, it's like the song when he's like, why am I such a misfit?
Yeah,
I am not just a nitwit. Like,
yeah,
I love that line.
Right. It's good.
What's a nitwit?
Yeah. And UConn Cornelius. Hey, UConn! So anyway, all things Christmas. I hope we've warmed you up effectively for this episode.
Yeah.
Advent. So when we talk about Advent, what are we talking about? The history of Advent. Are you able to speak to this or do I need to go?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so Advent comes from Latin meaning coming, and what we're celebrating is the coming or the arrival of Jesus. And like we're thinking about that when we're remembering back, we're putting ourselves like in the shoes of like those first century believers or first century people who had heard all these promises of the Messiah coming and that coming to pass. But we're also now, as New Testament believers, looking forward and anticipating a day when he will return again. And all the difference that will make in terms of our faith becoming sight and being with him forever and all those glorious truths. So that's all that's converging in Advent. And so the church traditionally, when I say church, I mean big C, universal church, has traditionally used a season around Christmas, around the holidays, to point to preparing our hearts and anticipating his coming. And so there's... In liturgies in the Catholic Church or Anglican traditions, you have the liturgies leading up to Christmas Day and things like this. So we're not going
full. Why would you say it's pretty important for you? I mean, every year you do an Advent series.
Yeah,
Christmas Day. So for you, why is it so important that not just you celebrate Advent, but you leading the church
in
Advent?
Yes, right. Well, it's my favorite time of the year. The weather is finally... about peak for me.
Miserable for me, but good.
It's, you know, it's in the 50s today, so it's not ideal, but pretty good. I love everything around Christmas. I love all the nostalgia stuff. I love all the food. I love all the candies. I love all the Christmas trees. I love all that tradition. And then, obviously, I love Jesus. I love what he's done. For sinners like me. And so being able to take a time to intentionally look to that and think about all that his coming means for my life is a great thing. So that's kind of why I'm passionate about it. I think it's a great time for us to pause and just think about what this means. Now, the question could be pushed, and I think it'd be legitimate. Like, we take 4 weeks for Advent, and sometimes we're not celebrating all of Lent, you know?
Yeah.
Which maybe there's something... at play there that we need to consider, but I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, but
I think the nature of it is even in the Catholic calendar, there's so many days for normal time where we normally function, and this is a special time where we don't want to just ignore this, pretend like it's every other day, because in the calendar it's not.
Yeah, so. An ordinary time is like a bulk of the year, like 25 weeks, right?
Yeah,
I think that's
like
right.
That.
So Advent kicks off kind of the year of celebration in the church, like Jesus coming, and that gets us into Epiphany and Lent and other good things. So, yeah.
You've heard the argument of, hey, look, we should be celebrating incarnation year-round, that Emmanuel, God with us year-round.
Yeah, sure.
So why take a special season out for this? I mean, is this even biblically mandated?
Yeah. Is it biblically mandated in what sense? Like, I don't think like Christmas trees are biblically mandated. I do think awing the sun for what he's done is biblically mandated, that'll be worship forever. And this is just the inauguration of that work. So it's him coming to earth, and yes, it's the beginning. I mean, we're going to culminate in resurrection, you know, and then ascension. So it's a big part of his work, but that's what I'm trying to do every year, is just think about this one who's coming to save, and just the way that God, we were talking about this in an earlier conversation, the way God blows up our stereotypes, you know, to think that God is accomplishing all of this by making, or not making, but I mean, I think Jesus did this willingly, you know, having the Son of God come through a birth canal and, you know, all the risks associated with pregnancy even today. And this is the vulnerable way in which he came. And then you read in the Gospels, like, you know, Herod trying to kill every baby under the age of two, and just how staggering it was. This is the kind of Savior we have, who came and identified with us in every single way possible. That's, I think, what the incarnation's getting at.
Well, he comes in a time of tragedy.
Yes, you know, right, yeah.
So much tragedy in the Christmas story, as well as
right,
there is an inauguration, a glorious thing that the King of Heaven would step down, but into our tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think that's all at play. So I don't know if that satisfies your question, but...
Yeah, no, I just... And I also see where in the Old Testament... God tells the Israelites, hey, you need to remember this. Like, you need to take special times and special seasons out of the year to remember this, because you're going to forget, right?
Right.
It's going to be natural. Yeah. If you assume it all the time, it's going to be out the window.
Right.
Right. So you need to take some time out of your calendar to say, hey, let's meditate on this. Let's think about this. And all, like you said, the glorious truths that go with it. Yeah. So I think you could make a biblical argument to say, we need to take special times and season out of the year to meditate on it and to contemplate it.
Sure. So this year, this season of Advent, we've chosen a series we're calling O Come, O Come Emmanuel, which is novel, right, Andrew?
We're going to do the lyrics of a song? Right.
He's like, are you just so uncreative that you just take the lyrics of a song and make that the series? Basically, yes.
For Thanksgiving last year, did. God, You're So Good.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's a creative and refreshing connected way maybe to handle this time of year.
So we're going to handle on Sunday mornings, the thought is like each of the verses of O Come, O Come Emmanuel are kind of the springboard for that morning. So this coming Sunday, I don't know when this is going to get online, but Sunday the 27th, the sermon will relate to O Come, O Come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel. So this idea of, you know, God coming to ransom his people, God coming to rescue us from sin. And when the Son of God appears, everything's going to change. It's not going to be the same. So pointing us to that hymn reflects biblical realities and what it's saying. So it's not going to be exposition, you know, the song O Come, O Come Emmanuel is not inspired in the way that scriptures are, but they are pointing to scriptural truth. And so each week we'll do that. This year we have 5 weeks. So we have the 4 weeks of Advent and then Christmas Sunday. Christmas is on a Sunday.
Buy 4, 1, get 1 free, huh?
Yeah. So on the fifth Sunday, then we'll deal with that chorus. That'll be what drives us. Rejoice, rejoice.
Yeah.
Emmanuel has come to us, you know. So that'll be, that's the plan.
I think that one of the other
great
things about doing this song is how many times have we sung this song?
Yes.
And we could probably sing it in our sleep. The lyric, we don't need the PowerPoint presentation, we can just sing it from our own memory, and man, if we could just dive into some of those truths that are said there, how much more can we sing that next Sunday, more glorious after we've meditated on those truths of, man, he's ransomed us and what that means. And it's like, it's going to go deeper into my soul than it has in previous years. And so that's for me what excites me about this series. Man, I can sing this song with much more vigor, much more excitement, much more of a worshipful heart, rather than, I don't know what the heck these words even mean. Like, what the heck is a day spring? Like, what does it mean by a rod of Jesse? Yeah, like, so we get to explore that. And now when we sing this, and it's gonna be, there's going to be so much more worship in our heart around that truth. Right.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think in kind of introducing the series, you know, I think there's things that we see in the lyrics themselves, and then every week there's a way in which that points to Jesus. So the background of the song O Come, O Come Emmanuel is it was called an antiphon or an antiphone, or I don't know what the right pronunciation is, but the idea would be like I would speak or sing a truth, and then the other side of the congregation would echo that back. Mm-hmm. And so they're speaking truth about Jesus and what he came to do back and forth to one another. And man, it's a great thing to get caught in that interplay as we think about worship and Jesus coming for us. And again, we're in a sense fighting against the culture that, you know, whatever they're going to do, whatever they're going to do, we're just going to relentlessly hold to Jesus. So,
you better say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. So, Merry Christmas. Yeah. So
I think musically there's kind of a great justice done that the verses are so minor. And then when we sing that rejoice chorus, it jumps back to the major and there's this certain amount of good feeling. And so that differs somewhat from the Christmas spirit, which is supposed to be happy all the time. We kind of ignore the woes of the world. This song identifies with that. There's this minor key as we're talking about, oh, come, Jesus, we need you. We need a rescuer to come.
Right. Yeah.
And then we sing, rejoice, he's here.
Yeah.
And we get to be joyful.
Maybe this would be a great time. I know I've talked to you about, like, we're planning on singing O Come Emmanuel every week, I think, mm-hmm. right? But not necessarily every week is going to be the somber traditional way. Sure. So just talk about your heart behind that.
Yeah, I think, like Luke was saying, we get very accustomed to songs and can easily be drawn in by a new rendition. And so the one we're going to try, we'll do the traditional one first week. So comes out before the 27th. You'll hear the traditional slow and somber, but doing one that's a little more upbeat, just tempo is faster, but still has that minor jumping to the major and really, really hopefully brings light to that rejoicing aspect and the rhythm of the song hopefully can help people not fall asleep. I remember one time we sang this song. We sang all 9 verses, bless the heart of the guy who was leading, or 7 verse, whatever it is.
Whatever it is,
and it got slower and slower every verse. And by the end, everyone just has to take a deep breath. So we're trying to avoid that. Let's not fall asleep in the midst of celebrating and rejoicing in our Emmanuel, God with us.
Well, tell me that White Cross has like a heavy metal version of this,
Probably.
Can we do that?
No, we were just texting today. I think that I found a version that was, you know, really cool. I mean, just the way they had roped in guitars and
let's do a hip hop version.
Yeah, we could. Yo, come, Emmanuel. You know, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Have somebody throw down some lyrics, some spoken word. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what'll come up?
Yeah, we'll probably not.
Probably not.
Great suggestions, guys. I appreciate it. Next year, next year when we do the same series, then we can.
So, thinking about this real practically, I mean, obviously we're talking a lot about the Sunday event. I know Luke, your passion is as helpful as the Sunday event is, and an important part of our life. That's not all that we're called to. So, what do you anticipate like this being in terms of rhythms for? Just church life or family life, what are some encouragements we could give to families that might just wonder, how can I make this a valuable time for my family?
Traditionally, there's the Advent wreath, right? So I am not advocating for that, but I mean, that is just it's a traditional way, right? So have the wreath in the middle of your table. So Sunday lunch, you come home and you have this big feast and you light a candle every single Sunday. Whether you have a wreath or not, right? A practice would be just, hey, let's talk about this sermon or this truth, or let's talk as a family about Christ coming.
Right.
And really there are, that's the beauty of Christian publishing these days. There is so many different resources out there for families for Advent. I mean, you could do 24 days, you could do 4 days, like once a week, you could do, there's all different varieties, but somehow, some way, implementing that somehow in your family devotions, in your family worship.
Advent calendars, you know, those exist. Like if you search up Advent calendar, you can find readings for every day for your family. There's one that goes along with the Jesus Storybook Bible. If your kids can sit long enough to hear a story out of that.
Well, and what we did one year is, you know, you have those Advent calendars where you pull the tab after the day, right? Yeah. And you get a little piece of candy behind that.
Yeah.
So they got so excited, right? Every day we're going to do something. Well, hey, all right. Now, before you pull that tab, we're going to read like just one scripture that points to Jesus from the Old Testament, right?
Right, sure.
And so they're going to sit and listen because there's some candy at the end of this thing, right?
Yeah.
So for kids who can't sit and listen, get them an advent calendar with a with a piece of candy.
In my house, we'd probably need four calendars because all the kids would want their own piece of candy.
Well, obviously you get four calendars. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, every kid had their own, right?
That could be heavy for you. Like you have a higher stock of calendars than chocolate, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thankfully those are pretty cheap. You can get them for like $5.
But I think too, like we want to encourage our people, like, you know, grab another family and go out into the community and be on mission together. You know, find service projects to do. Go down to Third Thursday when that happens.
Well, you can tell what John does every year.
Yeah,
with
right.
his small group.
Right. Yeah. So John's small group, we have a candle lighting, and he does Advent where they're singing, and we do we have wassail with it, and it's a great time of celebration. And there's scripture readings. We've incorporated kids into that where they're doing the readings with us, and we're trying to sing music that none of us has ever heard of.
Right. I've been on part of those, and he's singing some songs over there.
Crying out, and it's
sometimes
just like,
I think they're
what?
Gregorian chants. Like, I'm like, whoa, this is old school. Yeah,
right. But it's, you know, tradition he grew up with, and he's brought that to his small group, and it's edifying and great time,
Know,
as we've come together. And then, I mean, I'm all for the party, too. I mean, just get together with others. Enjoy the time. I mean, we are celebrating that our Savior has come to earth. Like, he's done this. He's coming to rescue us. So we don't have to, like, damper the celebration. I mean, enjoy the foods. Enjoy the feast.
And
you know,
you talk about being on mission. There are so many different ways that you can do that as a family.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So, the traditional way, passing out cookies to neighbors. You could be this person, but don't be the person that hands out cookies plus a track, right? Just love people, right? You don't have to, like, do the bait and switch,
secret
right?
agenda, yeah.
Right, so just love people. And
what if the bottom of the tray had a track?
Right. You know what I mean? Just love people, right? Show them you care. Like, this is a season of giving, and I just want to show you how much I love you.
Yeah.
And then, or there's ways, what we've done in the past, gingerbread house, right?
Yeah.
So invite the neighborhood kids, hey, we're going to make a gingerbread house together, and it's going to be awesome, and celebrate together with that. And those create opportunities to have conversations around, hey, what is this ornament about? Like, kids come and ask, and what is this nativity scene? And you could, again, just describe the gospel story as you're building the gingerbread house together. I mean, there's just so many different ways, right, that you can think outside the box.
Yeah, intentional times in our body as well, right? So we have women's ministry. They're trying to intentionally rope in people that maybe just would like to come to a holiday event. They're making that open to the public and trying to rope them into that. You know, our Christmas Eve service kind of gets at that too, where we have a lot of visitors that night. It's just a time where people come. They know that we're going to point to the gospel real clearly, quickly. We're going to sing songs together. So all those corporate ways too, but just be all about the celebration. We are going to be handing out this year. We purchased from Christianity Today an Advent reading from that they've compiled from different scholars. It'll be a booklet that'll be available on the 27th and in the weeks following. And it just has different readings throughout the month that hopefully encourage your heart. So if you're looking for something to read, we're going to hand that out in a formal way. If you're looking for a classic to read, you could look up St. Athanasius on the Incarnation.
Oof.
That'd be the deep theological truth. But C.S. Lewis wrote the introduction to
that. At least
read
the intro.
Yeah, so that's worth it on the value of reading old books. There's a reason C.S. Lewis captured that, like in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where that it was so bad for it to always be winter and never Christmas. And it's because I think what he was trying to get his readers to understand is there's something unique about when Christmas happens, that we're celebrating Jesus has come. Like, in a sense, the winter goes away, that the spell is broken, the old magic is done away with. And now, you know, from a Christian perspective, you know, we have reason to hope that our hope has come and he has a face. So what else do we need to say about Advent? Anything come to mind?
We've covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what, I guess we could talk about snacks or whatever, but I'm here all day for the Advent conversation.
Red and green M&Ms. That's all I need.
Peanut?
Yes. Both. Yeah,
sure.
Plain and peanut.
Yeah.
Those Hershey's toffees with the almond in the middle. And It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I like King Leo peppermint sticks. But I'm just an old man that drinks coffee. So I guess I'm there for all the coffee, too. All the holiday blends. So if you have a holiday blend that you think I haven't tried, why don't you go and bring that to the pastor's office?
Have you tried the Caldies?
I have the Caldies ready, queued up, ready to go, right over there.
Let's get a cup after this.
Yeah.
Well, these resources that Phil was talking about, the devotional guide will be available in the
Foyer.
In the foyer. So try to have someone out there handing those out this Sunday and through the rest of the month of December. Again, our podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and on the website. I haven't heard a lot of feedback as far as sound or if there's anything, so feel free to give feedback. We're not, we're here to serve. So
we don't want to hear anything negative, especially during this time of year.
Yeah, that's right. Only good things about everything we've said.
Seriously, though, we would love to serve you well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so hopefully if you're enjoying it, let us know. If there's things we can do better, we'd love to do that as well. But we're very grateful that you take time to listen to the conversation and to join us on the flip side. We'll catch you on the flippity flop.